Welcome to QuantumRx, the podcast that teaches you how to move beyond stuck emotions and trauma for mind, body, and spirit healing. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Davis. Dreams are really fascinating. It's been something that even since I was a little kid, I have always been just truly captivated and fascinated by my inner world and any dreams that I would have. I have, for many times in my life, been a very vivid dreamer. I've had periods where I've had repetitive dreams, and I'm going to share some of those with you today and some of the meanings behind them, because dreams often reflect our inner emotional landscape, and they're definitely a reflection of the subconscious mind. And dreams are a way for us to process things that we're experiencing in our waking hours, but also we can get hints as to what might be lurking in the subconscious mind that is driving our conscious behavior. And the more we can understand that, the more it can help shed light on why you're experiencing dreams, but also how you can use that as a tool to help transform your life and have more ease. Because as with any of the work that we do, that's the ultimate goal. How can we have an easier life, more flow in our lives, less resistant? So dreams can be an incredible tool for that. And today, we're not going to go across the board into all dreams, because I mean, we could be talking for days, if not weeks and months, about all the different types of dreams and what they might represent. But today, we're going to talk a little bit more about what would be, I'd say, categorically deemed more like anger dreams. But we often will experience unpleasant dreams. Sometimes they might be a little bit neutral, but often these dreams, we have these unpleasant dreams where there is anger and rage and irritation or something that comes up. And it might be obvious, and sometimes it's not. It's really interesting. Sometimes when you wake up from these dreams, you might feel really unsettled or anxious or sad. I mean, there was a dream I used to have in my 20s, and I would wake up bawling from it. So we'll talk a little bit about that before. And it really is helpful to examine the anger in our dreams, which can help uncover many things such as hidden frustrations, unresolved issues that linger just below the surface of our conscious awareness, that are kind of like right at the edge of your unconscious and conscious minds, and repressed emotions, which that's so much of what I do and we talk about in the work that I do with people. The three highlights today are going to be discussing the symbolism in dreams and why certain themes come up, identifying patterns in dreams, and what you can do to unpack your dreams and use them as tools of transformation in your life. If you're curious as to if you have any stored emotions or trauma that might be causing your illness, preventing you from achieving your goals, or even just showing up as the best, most authentic version of yourself, I invite you to take my free stored emotions and trauma quiz, and you'll find that link in the show notes. So I kind of got back into this topic of dreams because for the past, let's say mostly since my kids have been out of school, and it might be that, so that would be probably in the ballpark of like 5-6 weeks. I feel like maybe because I'm sleeping a little bit later, once I wake up and if I wake up a little bit and stir and I go back to sleep, that's when I tend to remember my dreams. And I've been having lots of them lately. And what I have found fascinating is that they really are reflections of what I am going through in my waking life. And I would say also reflections of some of the things that I am working on personally, from a self-growth standpoint and like a healing standpoint, because I mean, as you know, I am an advocate of continually doing the work, and I continually do the work myself. So I'm finding little pieces that show up in my dreams, and I wake up and I'm like, what was that? Some of them are obvious and some of them aren't. So what I was going to share with you guys was like the what I'm experiencing now. And it's not every day, but it's like once a week. And it is a dream of being in an airplane. And there's often turbulence. And it's really bizarre. Like one of the dreams, I got to the airport. And it was like, it was really weird. I can see this dream in my mind as we are speaking right now. I got to the airport and it was really weird. Like it took me a long time to get from the parking lot into the actual airport. And then I kept on, I felt like I was chasing the gate. Like I would go to one spot and I'd be like, oh, I'm going in the right direction. And I'd be like, oh, I've got to go here. I've got to go down this long hallway or up and down an escalator. And I had to keep going, keep going, keep going. And then once I got to the gate, it was really bizarre because it was like, it looked almost like, I don't know, like a waiting room area rather than there were chairs, but there was also like this kind of like standing long-standing desk area where people were like lined up right next to it. And that's kind of how we, when we got to where they would check your tickets, it was really strange because my kids were with me in this one dream and they were able to get on the airplane first and early, but they had to, they made me do some, like jump through some other hoops and it was really weird. Then I finally got onto the airplane and it was so weird because it didn't look like an airplane. Like it looked like an airplane, but it was really big and wide. It was like, for those of you who watch Harry Potter, it's like the scene in the very last, the Deathly Hallows, the last movies, where Hermione pulls the tent out of her purse and like it's this tent on the outside, but on the inside you walk in and it looks like this massive space. You know, there was so much more in there and it was so much more like beyond a tent, or in some of the other Harry Potters where they did the same thing. So it was interesting. It was like I got into this airplane and it was like there were like couches and it was strange. It was like couches. There was like a sitting area, but we were still in like the shell, the outside, there was an airplane there. And it was weird because my kids were sitting in front of me and there wasn't space. They were kind of sitting on like this bench, but they were still buckled in and I was behind them. And it was weird because I was there and we ended up taking off and we were flying in the most, it wasn't like turbulent, but it was erratic. And it was like, we went under like an underpass, like on the highway. And I was like freaking out because I was concerned about them, but they seemed totally chill and fine. It was so weird. And then like, yeah, we were like, we would like bank the plane would like bank and be like totally sideways. And I'd be like, oh my God, what's happening? And then we'd go down and we'd level out and be, if everything would be fine. And we would also get really, really close to like the ground. I remember when we were landing, there was very similarly, it was like we were flying like really, really, really close to the ground. It looked like we were going to land on like cars that were on the highway, but we ended up making it onto the runway and everything was fine. But it was very like there were lots of ups and downs. And it's funny because, you know, on the podcast, I talk a lot about how life is filled with ups and downs. And I know that when I'm in times of transition, which this is a time of transition for me, there's a lot that's changing inside my practice and my business. I know I have mentioned that I don't work with purely functional medicine patients anymore. I'm more on like working, doing, if people want to do that type of work, it's health optimization, but we're doing a lot of, so like not working on like super sick, you know, we're not working on Lyme, we're not working on mold, we're not doing that type of stuff. I'm working with people who want to like dial in some kind of lifestyle and health related stuff, but we're not doing that deep dive. The people I'm working with now are more in the space of, like I said, health optimization, but just like more like wanting to address the inner baggage and the trauma and self-growth and all of those things. But so in my practice now, I don't offer just functional medicine as an option. You are either doing just the emotional and trauma work, or you're doing that, plus we're doing some health optimization. And I offer that obviously to the public, but I'm also in the process, because I do work with so many business owners and entrepreneurs, creating a program specifically for them. that's kind of a version of what I have been doing with this population of people. So there is a lot of kind of like, I don't want to say turbulence, but there's a lot of change and a lot of ups and downs going on in my life. And obviously, when you're doing stuff like this, when you're transitioning, there's challenges that arise. Some days are like things go the way that I want, and some days there are more challenges, and that's okay. But I feel like that was like showing up in my dream. So that was just a really weird one. And then I had one, that one I had like 2 weeks ago, last and during this actual week, I had one where I was in the airplane. It was weird again, because I wasn't in a traditional seat, but this one actually looked more like a traditional airplane. I was at the back, and my gosh, like the turbulence was insane. I have experienced really bad turbulence on a flight a long, long time ago when I thought I was going to die. I was like, oh my God, we're like out over the Atlantic Ocean, flying from Ireland back over to Chicago. And it was scary. It was the type of turbulence where like the plane was like dropping hundreds of feet at a time, because the turbulence was just absolutely nuts. And so this dream was like that on steroids. Like there was so much turbulence. We'd be like, it seemed like we were going to totally just crash down, and then the plane would level out and we'd be okay. But the weird part about it was I was laying on like the floor and had my feet one up against like the back row of chairs and one up against the side of the plane. And I was using that to like stabilize myself. So obviously I wasn't buckled in. So I'm actually still trying to unpack what that aspect of it is. I suspect that it's like feeling like you're a little bit out of control, which is fair and true, because there are certain things we can do to try to influence our life. But obviously, ultimately, we are not in ultimate control of everything that happens. So it's that. And then also, I think my conscious, I should say subconscious representation of kind of the push and the pull, the action, taking action versus surrendering and letting things flow. And so I think I've gotten much better at that dance, but sometimes it's a little bit more difficult. Like, am I pushing too much, you know, taking too much action, or am I not taking enough? Like, am I surrendering too much and just letting the process unfold? So I try to be aware of that. And when I feel like I'm not in balance and I'm pushing or relenting too much, trying to be aware of that and, you know, course correcting. And so I feel like that's what that dream very much was a representation of, but it was fascinating that I'm having these dreams. And like, there's a couple of other things that I'm going to talk about soon, like when we get into like the bulk of the dreams and all of the points that we're going to talk about. But it was really, really interesting, because I just wanted to touch on the turbulent flights, because it usually does represent stressful periods in your life. And most often you might be like a tumultuous time at work. A lot that when I'm working with people and we're talking about dreams, that is something that we talk about a lot. These types of dreams usually manifest when there is stress at work, stress in somebody's business, because like I said, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners, and like there's obviously bumpy rides and through all that. But I also might be personal. Like, are you in the process of self-development and realizing that there are certain things that might not serve you, and having uncomfortable conversations? That stressful period can show up in a lot of different ways. You might be feeling instability in your life, which is a literal turbulence, is a literal expression of instability. And so I just wanted to mention that also emotional triggers can bring this type of stuff up too. Like, did you have a difficult conversation, or are you going to have a difficult conversation? There's a lot of reasons that this happens. And so I just wanted to discuss, we're going to get into the symbolism. So for me, like I said before, the dreams and the turbulence and that would come up because that's what's happening in my life right now. But when I was younger, like I mentioned earlier, in my 20s, I used to have this dream where my spouse at the time, who I'm not married to now, you've heard the stories about like my life and my transformation and my transition with him. But I used to wake up, I used to have a dream that he was being mean to me. And it was a repeating dream, and it was over a period of a couple of years. And it was, we had been married for a little while. We had definitely been married for at least, I want to say like probably 3 to 4 years when this dream started coming up, and he would be mean to me. And I would wake up bawling, like absolutely bawling. And sometimes he would be next to me. Sometimes he was already gone, but sometimes he'd be next to me and be like, oh my God, what's going on? Because truthfully, that's not him. It wasn't him. He was never an angry person. I don't think I ever heard him yell or get mad, which I think was part of his problem. Like, he did not express emotions fully. He always had to be like calm and diplomatic and like the peacemaker, very diplomatic. That was a word that people would often use to describe him, but all generally a very pleasant person. But I feel like it represented for me on a subconscious level, all of his repressed anger and frustration. And rage that he hadn't dealt with. And then also me not being true to myself, because I know that in the past, I've told you that I knew, like I had all of the red flags were going off in my head, because it wasn't that he was a bad person by any stretch of the imagination. I just knew that I've told you this before. I thought I could fix, you know, the issues. Like I felt like he never truly prioritized me. I had shared a story on the podcast about with him, how we were supposed to go on a trip, like a road trip, and he delayed us by many hours because he was in the moment engulfing with friends and didn't reach out to let me know that he was going to be late. And I kept on trying to call him, and I basically sat by the phone. This was before I had a cell phone personally. And so I sat by my regular phone that was plugged into the wall, because this is in my house that I lived in college. And I sat by the phone just waiting and pacing because I was so frustrated. And that was kind of a recurrent theme with him, like not thinking about me and him just being stuck, like getting in moments and just forgetting and quote unquote losing track of time. It's like, that's an excuse, right? And so I felt like I was losing myself and what I wanted out of life. And so it probably manifested as like, you're subconsciously, I was angry with myself for letting that happen. I did not understand that at the moment that I was in it. I was like, why am I having this dream? He's a super nice guy. I was very like, I had no clue why that was happening. But then after all of these years and everything that I've learned and everything that I've experienced and all of the work I've done, I have learned that that is why, you know, those are the most likely whys why I was having that dream. So we're going to, and that kind of, it's a good segue into like the anger dreams, because they can manifest in different ways. And I would say that was a version of an anger dream, because they often are very unsettling and leave us anxious and confused when we wake up. Because, I mean, I would wake up crying and I was like, what the heck, you know, what's going on here? And it was because I was not being authentic. I was violating, you know, it was a violation on myself, right? By not honoring myself and choosing kind of him and a marriage that was not I don't want to say fulfilling. I mean, it was fine, but ended up not being fulfilling, right? In the end, which is why I ended up walking away and nobody could understand why. But yeah, like these anger dreams often, like I said, they uncover hidden frustrations, repressed emotions, and unresolved issues that linger in our subconscious. And so let's talk more about the symbolism in dreams and why certain behaviors tend to come up. So the symbolism in dreams, you know, sometimes an anger dream can be direct and sometimes they're indirect, like the one that I was talking about before, but they often can be really deep symbolism. And one of the first areas is people as a mirror of yourself. So in dreams, the individuals that you're confronting or the people in that dream, they usually represent a part of ourselves. So I think that in that dream where he was being mean to me, that was really myself saying, hey, you're dishonoring yourself. So it's really interesting. You know, you also might have a dream of getting, you might be frustrated at your kids because they might be doing what you deem to be lazy, right? Or procrastinating. But really, that might be something you get frustrated at in yourself too. Remember, we always talk about the mirror, right? Lots of times when we're triggered in our waking lives, it is because it's something that we don't like in ourselves. And sometimes we're ready to see it and ready to admit it and are aware, and other times we're not. So the dream might be a way of like getting you to see it or bringing it to the surface. Also, I mean, you could also have a dream where you might be like somebody may have lied to you and you got angry about it. And so you could be wrestling with your own, you know, not being completely transparent and honest with yourself. And that is something that a lot of us struggle with. It's easy to deceive the world, right? But you can't lie to yourself. You absolutely cannot lie to yourself. You can do that for a while, but eventually it will come to the surface. So you could ask yourself questions like, what does this person or this scenario represent inside me? Just like in waking life, the same thing could be said of like triggers or jealousy, right? Repetitive themes, right? Like, so if you are dreaming frequently about irritability or rage or anger, like consider that, you know, pattern. Do you tend to have issues with authority? Authority is a big way that will show up. So like, do you have issues with authority or feeling controlled? Do you always in your dreams confront what would be deemed an authority figure? That would often represent you not feeling heard or invisible in your daily life. So that's a good example of like finding those patterns. And that's one that I feel like people experience. I have experienced that too, where in my representation of it, it's not necessarily anger, but I felt frustration when I woke up. It's like literally I'll be present in a dream, but it's like life is happening around me. And it's like literally there's all this stuff, interaction around me, but nobody's actually seeing me, or I'll actually speak out and nobody's hearing me. I don't have these now, but these were dreams that I had a long time ago. It so makes sense because they took me a long time to fully wake up and having speak my voice, to actually having the authenticity and have like true courage to speak my voice. The other thing is like, and this kind of harkens to what we were talking about before with like the airplane, right? Objects. So like people, I would say people, places, things. So like any kind of nouns or scenarios or experiences as like an emotional code, even like the setting matters. You can get really deep into the nuance of the dream. Like for instance, in both of my dreams, the sky was sunny. The ones that I was telling in the dreams that I want to be specific here, the dreams that I was talking about where I had was when I was in an airplane and there was like the turbulence or just like kind of the chaotic flying. It was sunny outside with a few little clouds in the sky. So that does represent that I might have, even though there's turbulence, the overall outlook is positive and sunny, literally. So sometimes when the background is dark, like if it's nighttime, that could represent there's like some darkness or deep-seated, you know, issues. If it's stormy, that may very well represent that you are in a turbulent time and there is a stormy quality to it. Like you're not seeing the light quite yet. So there's a lot of ways we can dive into the nuance and the context of the setting of dreams too that help us get even more meaning. You could also, like a good example might be you coming face to face with an angry animal. So like a bear, a tiger, a lion, it could be any animal. Sometimes like you could have an angry mouse or something, but you can see that the animal is charged, which that can represent things like primal aggression, the fear of being overpowered, you feeling territorial or feeling like you need to control things, right? There's a lot that we can uncover by looking at dreams. Like sometimes an example of another, something that's relevant to our daily lives, like a phone, a cell phone. that could symbolize communication, like broken down communication with yourself, within yourself, or with others. Like there's lots of like, you can dive into the nuance of like the symbology of dreams. And so sometimes I will take the time to dive into like all of the weird little details of the scenarios of dreams. Like when I told you guys about like that first airplane dream I had, where it took me a long time to get through the parking lot and then get through the airport. I personally felt like that represented the path I've had. My path has not been easy and it's been very meandering and it's taken me a while, I'd say a good 50 years to get to this place where I'm at right now. And even though I know I'm supposed to be here, there's still the daily challenges that happen. So that, you know, the symbolism in dreams and why themes come up is really important. So you can dive into that. Next would be like identifying the patterns. And we kind of talked about this a little bit, but are there repetitive themes that show up? Like, are you frequently having, is it anger? Are you angry and yelling at somebody? Are you getting those animals, like those angry animals, like an angry lion chasing you? Is that happening a lot? Are you waking up and feeling overly emotional? Like your dreams may not always be the same too. Like you might have dreams that are similar categorically, but you can't quite see the thread that ties them all together. So I would encourage you to look at it with that lens. Like, is there an emotion that's being suppressed? Is there something like a conflict that you're avoiding? Is it a conflict within yourself or is it a conflict with somebody else that you've been avoiding? There's lots of ways that we can dive in and see like the repeating themes. Like somebody that I worked with before, the phone thing, that was another, I wanted to tie it back to our daily lives, but the phone, like in her dreams, there would be a phone and sometimes it was like an old school, like it was like a red phone that you had to pick up the receiver and you would have to press, you know, press the numbers. And then sometimes a modern cell phone would be there. She even had communication as like a radio, like a CB radio. So like doing that where she was communicating with like in like semis, like a semi rig, like rig to rig on the radio. So it's like it was showing up as a pattern, right? The common theme was communication. And sometimes it's hard to figure it out on your own. So it can be a good idea to unpack this with other people. And so that brings us to kind of the third point is what you can do to unpack your dreams and use it as a tool of transformation. And so for me, I have gotten very good mostly at remembering the details and the nuance of my dreams. So like when I wake up, I will sit there and I'll think about it and I will replay it in my head. And I, in my brain now, like can get myself into a lucid enough state where I am thinking about all of the details and the nuance and the pieces and trying to like reflect back in and see like, what can I see, you know, what the obvious experience was in the dream. But like sometimes when you can look back and for some reason, like I said, like there was that weird long table right before I got into the area where I would have to give them my boarding pass. Like it was bizarre. I would love to like draw a picture or paint a picture for you guys so you can see what it was. But like that, I'm still trying to figure out, but it's like uncovering all these details. If you cannot remember them, and I will be the first to admit, some dreams tend to stick better with me than others, I will write them down. And unfortunately, sometimes I wait too long to write it down, but the best thing to do is to when you like leave a pencil and paper or a pen and paper or a journal by your bed to write them down. You can put it on your phone too. That's not personally what works for me and what I recommend people do, but it's easy enough to open up your phone and do a voice note and like just, you know, transcribe it right there. Do whatever works for you. But I don't love, if you do have a phone in your room, I tell people to put it in airplane mode just so that you're not having a ton of, you know, extra radiation. I'd like to have people, when I'm working with people and we are doing lifestyle changes, if they don't sleep well, one of the things I do is like, you know, your bedroom is a sanctuary. No TVs, prefer like nothing that is glowing and really bright. You want it to be dark. You want it to be cool. You want your brain to associate your bed with sleep or, you know, maybe intimacy and not with like waking and working. That's like you want to take work outside of the bed. But that's why I say to people, like, awesome to have like a paper, piece of paper or journal by your bed. I happen to have that. I do keep my phone in my room now, but I do keep it on airplane. I do have the caveat that if like an emergency call comes through or there are certain people like family members of mine, if I were to receive a call from them in the middle of the night, it would come through too. And it would block the, you know, the airplane mode. But I very much prefer to like write it out. There is something very like a transformative and it's like an alchemizing when you write things down. So do that. Write down as many of the details as you can remember. You can always come back to it. Your brain will remember. Your brain, like, it's really interesting. If you're about to fall asleep, you could actually get your brain back into that scenario. And sometimes you can bring back a dream if you want to. Some people are very good at what's called lucid dreaming and, you know, being very intentional in their dreams. And then there are some people are really good at like bringing the dream back so that they can experience more of what happened. But that's a story for another day. So after you get that dream down on paper or on your phone, why is it personal to you? Why might a person, place, thing, or experience, what might they represent? What are they representing to you? So dive into that and give it some time. I feel like dream analysis can be a lot of fun. It's a more fun tool to work with than a lot of things that we do in the, you know, inner work and trauma and emotional space. So dive into that. You know, what might these things represent to you? And then lastly, consult with sources to learn more. This was something that I started kind of investigating in high school because I took a psychology class and our teacher had us do exactly this. Put a journal by your bed, you know, be intentional when you go to bed thinking about certain things so you could try to have certain types of dreams. It was really fun. It was an awesome exercise. In college, I did something similar in another class. So this has always been something that I have particularly enjoyed. And it's fascinating because I know that certain different things, I can take certain supplements and it'll affect my dreams. Certain things I eat will affect my dreams. Different practices I have before I go to bed, depending upon, I always do some kind of like self-work, anything from basic gratitude to sometimes I actually do some deeper work, sometimes right before I go to bed, that sometimes will show up in my dreams. So there's lots of ways we can influence them. But if you are like on the beginning stages of this journey, or you end up with a scenario that you just don't get and you can't connect the pieces of the puzzle, talk to somebody about it. Like that's a fun part of the process for me is like when a couple episodes ago, we were talking about being creative and playful and fun in your life as part of the healing journey. I would consider this more in the fun plane, even though some of the topics that we're uncovering are not quite as fun in and of themselves. And we can sometimes have some deep conversations after the fact. That process in and of itself is pretty fun. Kind of uncovering this. And that's what I've asked people when I'm working with them, like, you know, even though what we found may have been shocking or surprising, or even something that might be like sad to them, I'm like, was this still like a fun process for you? Yeah, it's fun to like uncover this and do the detective work, you know, on the whys behind our dream. So yeah, it's kind of more in that fun, creative space of healing. So I do this type of work, obviously, with people. I will say I'm not a dream consultant expert, but I do know a good amount about it just because of all of the training I've had with the subconscious mind and how the subconscious mind works. And just because this has been something that I have enjoyed for a good like 35 years of my life. So yeah, so I know quite a bit about this, but there are people who do dream analysis. The internet can be a helpful tool. I will just tell you to just be cautious with the sources that you look at. You can tell when this is something that is like the thing that a person does. I have seen some places come up just like when I'll Google like some kind of symbolism in a dream, it looks like it's completely like AI generated, or it's like really just it's not well put together, consider your source. You can usually get a good idea if this is like, if they have a very deep and detailed analysis for you, that's usually a good sign that this is good information. When you get like little tiny snippets and blurbs, that's not usually a good thing. You could also run it through. I find that I feel like when you see things that are AI generated, they kind of stand out like a sore thumb now, because AI, unless you're incredibly specific, tends to give you very canned answers. And sometimes that's what these, like what you see people put up as blog posts or articles, that's what they'll look like. So very much consider your source. But there are, that said, a lot of good, you know, places out there. There's one called the Dreamly app. That one's good. There is, I'm going to say, the Inner Growth Coach. It's innergrowthcoach.com. That's another one that tends to have a lot of good info on dreams. And truthfully, there are a lot of good resources out there. So I encourage you, if you're curious, to do a little digging out there on what it is. But I would love to hear from you in the comments. What experiences have you had with dreams? Are there any recurring dreams that you tend to have that, you know, had an impact on you, or you knew what it represented? I always love hearing about this. So feel free to put that information in the chat. I always love to hear from you guys, and sending you lots of love until next time.
If you made it this far, I truly appreciate you. Remember, knowledge is just the beginning. Taking action is what truly sparks change. If you're overwhelmed and don't have enough energy to make it through the day, I invite you to book a free 20-minute coaching call with me. It's a no-obligation chat where we can discuss your health goals and how I might be able to help you achieve them. Visit the link in the episode description to book that call. Until next time, keep striving for wellness, and remember, you have the power to not just survive, but thrive in motherhood.